welcome back to Witches DNA 101. So, thank you to everybody who is returning. And if you're new here, welcome. This podcast, my podcast, it is about, it's for witches who have a lineage, a DNA that runs their bloodline of witches, dating from as far back as you can go, further past the 50s. This is not including Wicca, but actual traditional witchcraft. Okay, so I told you all last podcast that I will be coming back in this podcast with information added to the Yuletide celebration. Christmas, Yule, and Christmas are not the same thing. You might have heard it a lot as being mentioned like interchangeably with Christmas. Yule and Christmas does not have the same meaning as it does in Christianity. Let's see. Yule is a 12-day celebration. It's Northern European, Scandinavian, Norwegian, involves Norse gods and all kinds of interesting things. Even before, I believe it starts the 21st of December, but even slightly before that, around the 2nd of December, it was Roman tradition to celebrate Saturnalia, which was an all-out fest of just raunchy debauchery and fun, because the church hadn't came in yet and said, that is wrong. So there was like orgies and all kinds of interesting stuff going on, drinking and just having an all out good time without the fear of evil God coming down and saying, oh, you're going to hell for having fun. There were sacrifices involved, and even in sacrifices of animals involved in Yule. The goat, most traditionally. Now we have, and we still have that, but it's instead of celebrating Yule, it's just for celebrating Yule, it's added to dinner to be. The goat has changed from the Christmas ham or the Christmas turkey or the Christmas the pig that is roasted and spit and all that kind of stuff, depending on where you live or what culture you're from. So today I'm going to talk about La Befana. And I know I may be tearing up this name, but I don't think I'm doing too terribly. La Befana is I wouldn't call it a superstition, though some might. She heralds from Italy. Now remember, in the same vein, that Rome is the birth of, they celebrated Saturnalia. Well, now comes La Befana. La Befana was not widely known across all of Europe. She's more of a regional type of thing. Like Saturnalia was Roman. La Befana is the Christmas witch. She was very interesting to some. She is very interesting. I mean, some people probably still commemorate her. Well, they do actually, because they dress up around, oh, I forget the date. It's like the December. Is it December? No, this is in January, just before January 5th, which is just before. Oh, I forget. What is that? It happens on January 6th. Anyway, La Befana, she's depicted as an old hag type of witch. And the beginning point, part of where she has come in into tradition is unknown. It's very speculative because she's not a huge figure in all of Italy. So, she is a witch that actually comes along and, like Santa Claus, she either rewards or she punishes kids who have either been good or have been bad throughout the year. So the way she punishes, and it's going to sound very familiar to a lot of you, is that some say that she leaves cookies and treats in the stockings, the Christmas stockings that hang from the fireplace, that hang from the mantle. And for those that are bad, she leaves lumps of coal. And of course, she carries she carries a broomstick. And the broomstick symbolizes her sweeping away the negativity of the year so that the family can bring in, go into the next phase of the sun. Better than they left it. So, she has been, January 6th, Epiphany. So she's a pre-Epiphany witch, Christmas witch. So, some have even, trying to shove her into Christianity. Some have even said that the wise men, came by and knocked on her door and asked her if she wanted to come to see the child Jesus. She said no, because she didn't really fall for it. She didn't really believe it. After the child Jesus was born, she regretted it, and she set out on her own to catch up with everybody and to find... Oh, I'm so sorry for yawning. Oh my goodness, it's early morning. And to set out and find the child Jesus on her own. The Magi gave the child gifts and all that kind of stuff. And so they're saying pretty much the reason why a witch wasn't there is because she decided not to go. Okay. There's other ways she's been translated in the same Italian traditions. she can be ugly or she can be beautiful, but the tradition in it in this Italian region is to dress up as an old hag with layers and layers of clothes on. I guess that's how Italian women dressed back in the day. And you know, the way that you're used to, you might have seen, which is depicted in mainstream media, no matter where you are, as having a big warty nose and just being a green face or just being just evil and ugly. And well, that's how they dress up. And it's like, to me, I see it as having two sides. They have the ugly side, which leaves the lumps of coal. But there's also a good side that sweeps away the negativity of the year so you can start off fresh and new. Gift giving, she leaves gifts for good children and lumps of coal for bad children. So, January 5th, if you want to commemorate this, you can dress up like an old witch. It's Halloween-ishy, but it's not. It's a costume, but you can be La Bafana, who only leaves good gifts, or you can be the traditional type and bake something that represents coal, licorice cookies, something that's black, or, you know, use your imagination, use your creativity. And if you are familiar with this tradition, then you know exactly what to do. You have some even greater ideas on what to do. Okay, so that is La Befana. And let's see. Let's go to we're going to talk about how Wiccans celebrate Yule. Now, the way Wiccans celebrate Yule is different than the way traditional witches celebrate it. Okay? To Wiccans, Yule is a time of quiet, introspection, meditation, sleepy, rest, just sitting quietly in a house where there's snow falling all around and candles, wet candles lit inside. Or maybe even some outside. And it's celebrated between December 20th and December 23rd, depending on where, what hemisphere you are located. And it's just really, it's not a action-filled Sabbath. You remember Sabbath? Their Sabbaths are the will of the year. It's not an action field. It's more just sitting back and contemplating and relaxing and just being grateful, which is beautiful. You're not really doing anything at all. Now, from my last two podcasts, I have taught y'all that the whole thing about the Christmas tree, pine, and spruce, and the other trees that can be so sacred to traditional witchcraft. If you listen to a Wiccan tell you, they'll sound like, oh, it's a Wiccan thing to do. It's not a Wiccan. It's not, Wiccans did not coin this, okay? Witches have been doing this for centuries, many centuries. So the Christmas tree, the garland, that all has symbolic meaning in witchcraft that has reached back to pre-Christianity. It's very pagan. So there is a lot that in celebrating Yule, there is a lot of ways we traditional witches and Wiccans don't see or not on the same wavelength. To traditional witches, Yule is an active celebration. It's 12 days long. It celebrates the winter solstice. It goes much longer than Wicca does. And we celebrate with gift giving and merriment, and it's an actual all out celebration. It brings in a hope for the sun to come back. It's celebrating that the sun is rising again. And now that part is matches with Wicca. Or Wicca matches with traditional witchcraft on that part. But the solemn, quiet introspection, all witches can do that, okay? It's not a Wiccan way to celebrate the Sabbath, okay? If you want to, you don't have to be on active field. Or you don't have to be, yeah, you don't have to be all active field. You can be somber, but It's a celebration. It's a celebration, and it's always been a celebration. The Christian church came and took Yule and inserted Jesus in it, and to convert people over to Christianity. And it's all a celebration. That's why Christmas is such a happy, jolly time. Because that's what it was before the church came in. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Now remember, Wicca was just created by a witch, a traditional witch, in 1954. So that is where that is where the break happens, because the things that Gerald Gardner put into Wicca to categorize or document what Druids do, because you remember my teaching that Druidry was all word of mouth, nothing written down, and that's where a lot of traditional witches everything carried by word of mouth, a book of shadows, a grimoire, to start writing things down. But it was just very basic in that. A lot of what Wicca is, as we see Wicca today, has been created or added to since then by Wiccans who wanted to have new and different ways to be a Wiccan. So, the Druids were very how should I say it? They had some really not so good elements. The Wicker Man, making this great big huge wicker human structure looking thing and putting humans in it and burning it. There's all kinds of atrocious things that happen. And the church used, they consulted Druids a lot. Julius Caesar, even, and being judges, deciphering right from wrong and meeting out what the Druids felt would be appropriate punishments for things, for crimes or stuff like that. So now you've got this very, very nice side of witchcraft called Wicca that does not even, that blows over all that negativity or whatever, you know, all the things that Druidry is, and doesn't even give it credence, doesn't give it reference, doesn't give it acknowledgement, even though that is there where Wicca came from. So much like the church doesn't either. You listen to a priest or a minister or whatever, and they'll tell you that the church was always on the side of good, that they went through and saved people, brought people to the light, and all that kind of stuff, but no speaking of the atrocities that they put on even the very innocent, and just the lying and all that stuff. So, and I think it's fair to say that a lot of your Wiccans are people who came from Christianity. So there's that. But back to your, well, we never really left it, but yes, so candles, lighting candles. So to commemorate the sun, the sun that is going to be coming back and lengthening each day, the sun, each day the sun gains an extra hour or whatever until the summer solstice. And so to commemorate that, Wiccans light candles. They might have a wreath or a garland made out of evergreen or pine or spruce or whatever, and they decorate it with pine cones and other happy things, festive things. And this, find it interesting that they were decorated with these festive things, but yet them themselves are quite solemn. Interesting. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but it's just interesting. So, for you witches, for my traditional witches, I did a segment on magical correspondence. Look into your magical correspondence. Anything that makes you think of joy, merriment, giving, love, and all these kinds of things. And you can incorporate that into Yule. Okay, so let's move on to one of my favorite. It's more so here than even in Ireland or, you know, particularly maybe Northern Ireland. I don't know. Ireland. My granny, y'all know, is part Irish. She's a large part Irish, and she's Scandinavian. And she's Native American. But for her, a lot of witches, and she never lost her heritage. There is there are some witches out there who are in the closet because they, as they integrated into communities, married Christians, you know, who can be quite cruel. I'm not saying all, or I'm saying quite, a most maybe, without even what they think that they're being nice because they feel that they're following what, let's not get into that. We're going to save that for a whole another segment. But, especially, I'm going to touch on, in the future, I'm going to touch on how witches were mistreated by the church, traditional witches. But we're on Yule now. But this comes from Norwegian folklore. Yeah, I remember I spoke to you guys about Odin, the Norse god. So this is coming from pretty much the same region, Iceland. I love this because not much is spoken about the, now with Ireland we have fairies, and yes, that is a fairies are definitely real, but we're going to get on to that later also. There'll be a segment for that also. But here we're talking about Iceland and elves. Yes, elves, like as in Christmas elves, but we're talking about Yule. So these elves are quite mischievous, like fairies. There's a lot of, you know, connection going on here between the Norwegians and the Scandinavian folklore. There it is quite a few different types of mischievous elves. that are known, that are connected to Yule in Iceland. And I did some research on this, and I'm thankful to tarotpugs.com for helping me to, I knew of some, but they've given me others that I didn't know about, and help explain what they are. So, elves and dwarves are enchanted creatures. Yes, dwarves, like in Sleeping Beauty, except Sleeping Beauty's dwarves didn't really have any magical spells or anything like that. These in Icelandic Yule culture do. So, yes, and it's still very active. It's a real thing to those who still believe in this. And I do, because I know fairies exist. When I get into Irish fairies and stuff like that, I'll explain to y'all why and how I know. Christmas and Yule. It's different. It's still separated, but it's celebrated at the same time. Like, Yule is December 21st to January 1st. Or December 20th to January 1st. I laid it out in my last podcast. But the Christian Christmas is Lutheran, not Catholic, but Lutheran, which, yeah, if you know the history of the Christianity, then you'll understand how it's Lutheran and not Catholic, and Yule, pagan. The most popular and interesting of these creatures, these Yule creatures, are the Yule Lads. Okay, so there are 13 of these lads, 13 dwarves. Okay, that belong, and they're all male, and they belong to a troll called Grela. I know that's a female, and her husband, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. Anyway, the Yule lads arrive one at a time on December the 12th, and they stay for 13 days, with the final dwarf leaving on, you got it, Epiphany. Okay, so with that being said, everybody knows that dwarves and elves and fairies can be quite bothersome. I always advise people, when you are trying to contact or reach out to, or you know, to communicate with a fairy or elf, that you be very, very cautious, because not only are they, or is their trickery real, but they have a very, they have another side to them. Say like that can come out and be very bothersome, be very annoying, be very malefic. If you ask them, if you say, "I will give you this shiny dime, this shiny nickel, this shiny quarter, if you help me find my keys," they help you find your keys, but you don't deliver the coin. That could prove very bad for you. And in some cases, they may be the reason why you lost your keys in the first place. They can also, they are on the fine line that separates the enchanted good and the demonic. So you never really knew where you're going with it. When you contact one, you never really know who you're actually contacting. Some are more on the side of the demonic than on the side of the good. But you just have to be really careful. It's not something to ever, ever, ever take lightly. Never take it lightly. Okay, so with that being said, these Yule lads are said to leave gifts for kids. And then we go to, and these Norwegian names, these Icelandic names, I'm not going to pronounce. And this is where Tarot Pugs really helps me out, because they're translating this for me, is Sheepcoat God. Clod, Sheepcoat Clod. This one I have not heard of before. Arrives December 12th to the 25th. Has a peg leg, harasses sheep, and is scary to farmers. And there's a few of these that are scary to farmers. There are even two ones called spoon lickers that lick spoons and steel spoons. The spoons have this oval to round shape that when shined by a human cleaning it, polishing it, or by a dwarf or elf licking it and making it shiny, they can see their reflection, and they love seeing their reflection. And so that may be why, the actual reason as to why you have no spoons, especially around Yule. You find that, where's all my spoons going? I find that very, I think that's entertaining, actually. There's a lot that the shenanigans that they do, especially around food and things that are shiny. As you know, they love shiny things because they can see their reflection. And it's not that they're vain or anything like that. It's just that they find it amusing or endearing or fun that they can see there. own reflection in these things. And I think that for some part, they might even get a little hypnotized by their own reflection. They, you know, they get a little lost in their reflection. And so they take it with them so they can always see their reflection or even as a memento. They can even be on their way to doing something else. They see a shiny pod or even jewelry, anything that's shiny and has a reflective surface. They love it. There's some that, this one that slams doors. Called the Door Slammer. Arrives December 18th through 31st in the middle of the night, just being annoying, waking you up, slamming doors everywhere, and just being, just being a pest, basically. Like I said, a lot of these are centered around food in the kitchen. They are Icelandic, in way back, like in it's traditional in Iceland to their smoked fish and meats are cured with sheep poop. Yes, their proteins are cured with sheep poop. And all of that amalgamated together is very enticing to a dwarf or to a dwarf. And their parents, these 13 dwarves, their parents are trolls, okay? So they, this particular one, the sausage stealing dwarf, loves to steal sausages that have been smoked, and they love the smell and the scent and the taste of these foods. And so they will be annoying in that way. There is a lot. I would implore you to, even the candle stealer, because of the meat, the animal fats that were used to create candles. That's why using vegan candles are a great alternative, because they are of no interest to the candle stealing dwarf. This one I found interesting. I didn't know about this one. It's this great big huge Yule cat. It's a huge black cat. I mean, like, extremely tall. Like Tara Pug says that the giant black cat is tall as the tallest building in Iceland, standing at 74.5 meters. And this is kind of gruesome, but it's customary to give clothes. It's customary to give clothes, okay, for your two children. And if children didn't receive any new clothes, then the Yule cat would come and eat the kids that didn't receive it. Now, I know that's kind of backwards, but I mean, that's what the Yule cat did. And Tara Puck says that Bjork, and you guys might have upbeat wild fans of York, a musician, recorded and sang a song about the York Hat. And apparently, the audio only is on YouTube. So, so Iceland is quite interesting, as is Ireland, the Scandinavians, and the Norwegians. Let's talk about how you can, other ways you can incorporate your. Do you have to have a garland or a tree? You don't have to have a garland or a tree. I prefer a garland, and here are some ideas on how to decorate a Yule garden or even a Yule tree. To decorate a Yule garden or tree, you can use cinnamon stick. If the only thing you can find is the little skinny ones, great. But the big ones, the big brown, heftier ones, you could tie those with twine or burlap onto a garland. Made out of evergreen or whatever, or you can even make one out of rosemary, bay leaves. It's interesting. If you are having a party, a Yule party, you can make one out of basil. And basil smells so fresh and good, fresh basil. And affix the cinnamon sticks to the garland. You can include berries and stuff like that. Really interesting stuff. A rosemary wreath or garland would be amazing. Bay, as you know, bay leaf and basil, rosemary, all these have very, there's so much that has a strong magical power, energy in it. And bay leaf, it's a great all-purpose or herb. It is a great all-purpose or herb. If you need an herb for a spell, but you don't have it, you can use bay leaf. And not just herb. If you need lemon for a spell, but you don't have any lemon, I mean, even the actual lemon, you can, bay leaf can stand in for that. Rosemary is quite protective. But you can make a wreath, a large or small, medium wreath out of, you know, those wreaths that are made out of sticks. You can either buy one or make one yourself. And the stems of rosemary is very, thick and they are great because they're strong, and so just like the herb. And so you can stick those down into the openings and the crevices within the branches of the actual wreath form itself and create a wonderful wreath. But I must advise you that as you create your rosemary wreath, it should be in your magical correspondence that rosemary is a very active herb. It's very active. There's a lot of energy associated with it. So it's perfect for Yule. Absolutely perfect for celebrating Yule. It's protective. It gets rid of negative energy, especially the more of it you have around. But if you have a lot of it in your home, you might start finding it difficult to get to sleep or to stay asleep, because the energy is so active that it's not. If you want to be more awake, more alert, stay up late, be more festive, you're the type of person who, you know, falls asleep easily or early and you miss a lot, you feel like you miss a lot, then this is perfect. Rosemary is perfect, and it's happy, and it supports good environment and fellowship with people. Fellowship with people. And it's a horrible herb to put underneath your pillow, your bed pillow, trying to encourage sleep, because you would not get any. Definitely. Bay leaf has a different type of energy, so you can use the stem of bay leaf, but that's going to be a little bit harder because its stems tend to be shorter. So just take that into consideration. Rosemary wreaths are absolutely beautiful. Rosemary garlands are absolutely beautiful. You can even take sprigs and connect them end to end, and then one going left and then a chain going right, and connect them two together at the middle, with the bottom being the longest, and then do it again with that being slightly shorter, and then going shorter and shorter and shorter as you reach the top, and affixing that to the wall, all that to the wall, to create a different type of Christmas tree. But again, that's a lot of energy. So if you do create this, I will put amethyst underneath my pillow to help melt everything out and to actually get some sleep. I will put amethyst in places where around my home where I don't want that much energy, like if you have a reading room or a library where you just want to go in, sit down, or, you know, relax basically and just be quiet and read, I will put amethyst in there. And so I'm at 53 minutes. Let me see, there's so much more. But I will come back with more ways that you can celebrate Yule. And then let's see, we will talk about, who knows, this can be our miscellaneous section on Yule, because I'm out of ideas of what to talk about right now. So except different ways to actually celebrate Yule. If you are a Christian witch, which is not traditional witchcraft, that's Wiccan, because witches existed way before Christianity. And so to be a Christian witch means that you are a type of neo or new pagan, not traditional. You see Christian witchcraft in as one of the hundreds and thousands of different types of Wiccans. Okay, so I'll maybe I'll come back and talk to you guys a little bit about the fairy tradition, about the fae. The fae fairies are not Wiccan. They're not. But Wiccans do, it's a path, it can be a path or an option for a Wiccan to follow that path, instead of traditional Wicca. All right, so, you guys take care and be kind to one another, please. And I'll see you all next time. And all right.